Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline Network. We have a great show, as always, lined up for today. Maybe the best writer at ESPN the magazine covering the NBA is a guy named Rick Bucher. Not just because he went to Dartmouth College, I might say, but because of the way that he covers not only the X's and O's, but the things we like to do on the show, looking a little bit more into personalities and some of the things that don't make it to print. Rick's going to join us in the second segment of today's show to talk about Orlando's fast start, talk about Ben's headman, the Mavericks' surge, a little bit about the Suns' comeback after a slow start, the Warriors' back-to-back wins over San Antonio and Utah are some of the things we'll go over. Yesterday's show, we talked with both Bill Moss about all of the different quarterback changes around the league and how the sexiest player on a team is always the backup quarterback when things are going wrong. And we also talked to Morton Anderson about Michael Vick's situation in Atlanta. Here's Morton Anderson.
I don't think so, Nick. I mean, I know there's a lot of attention on Mike Vick, and that's difficult for a young man to have that much scrutiny constantly. But that's what he signed up for, and that's, you know, that's what we're all, you know, we try to just tell Mike too that listen, hey, it's not all on your shoulders. We have playmakers on our football team, and we all have to perform. We all have to kick it through the pipes. You know, we have to catch the football. We have to do all the things. We have to execute so we can help you be Mike Vick. And we haven't been doing it. As a team, we haven't been doing it. And I never point fingers at one particular player because it's a team sport and there's always things that we can all do to get, you know, to better the team. And so Mike Vick is an outstanding football player, but he needs help from his teammates. And right now, we're not getting that.
That's Morton Anderson. If you look at the teams around the league that are having problems, including the Denver Broncos, a team that's still 7-4, a team with an outstanding defense that just has had two bad games, the bottom line is you've got to surround, as Bubby Brister said just a couple weeks ago, as Len Dawson said, you've got to surround that quarterback with an offensive line that will protect him and some talented, reasonably talented players around him. Denver does not have the talent they've had in the past. We'll be right back on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite with Rick Bucher from ESPN on the NBA in just a second. Stay with us.
Available now from Doubleday Books. Real baseball. Baseball's golden era. The way America witnessed it. In the movie newsreels, author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real Baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information. So register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out headgamesradio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Got an iPod? Into podcasting? Now you can get podcasts of all your favorite Sports Byline shows delivered right to your computer. Automatically. So you can listen when and where you want. As many times as you want. On your PC or on your iPod. Never miss your favorite show. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button next to your favorite shows. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
We know who's selling drugs in our community, but we never say anything to them. And if a white guy was to come into our community and sell drugs, we'd probably kill him.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Have you ever wondered about the difference in playing surfaces? Statistics show that Tom Brady, as good as he has been in New England when it had a grass field, that on indoor fields, on artificial turf, he's almost impeccable. He's almost unbeatable. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots figured, you know, in terms of consistency in those late season games, let's give Tom that edge so they put in that new field. We talked to Morton Anderson about the snow that Josh Brown, the kicker for Seattle, that Matt Hasselbeck, that Sean Alexander, and all the players with Seattle have to deal with. They're getting three to six more inches tonight. I talked to John Clayton before the show. We hope to have him on tomorrow's show to talk about how they deal with all this rain. I think they've had 15 inches of rain in Seattle this month when it's normally about 5 inches. So we talked to Morton Anderson about what a kicker does in terms of being able to be consistent in bad weather conditions. And it sometimes comes down to making sure you have the right kind of cleats. It's also about how you stay on top of your feet. And some players tend to be more heavy-footed, and that causes some problems.
Well, you just eliminate the elements as much as you can from your mind, and you just take control of what you can control, which is your effort and ability and the way you come to the ball. I come into the ball kind of forcefully, so a snowy, slippery field, which I guess it wasn't that slippery last night, but I mean, if it is a slippery field, that's not to my advantage, certainly. But Josh is not a 6'2", 230-pound guy either, so he may be able to plant a little more gingerly, but he just looks to me like he has a lot of confidence, and he delivers the ball to the target. He gets his plant foot out and away from the ball nicely, I think, and it just looks like he's in a pretty good groove right now, and there's nothing to cure any ills like a game winner, like you said, or several of them. And so he's playing with confidence, and that's really, 80-90% of what we do anyway.
Of course, the
Courtney, so the last time, one of the last times we were on, well, we had Adam Vinatieri, who's not missed an extra point or a field goal for Indianapolis, and I can't help thinking that New England made a huge mistake by letting him go, just the way they let you and I go back in the day. But I mean, Adam Vinatieri is—I think he's missed two field goals this year. He missed a couple up in New England. But other than that, he's had a great year. And then Mike Vanderjack. What has happened to Mike Vanderjack? Who would ever have imagined that the Dallas Cowboys would let go of a guy that has a career 87%? As I talked with John Clayton this morning, I told him that my belief is it is 100% a problem with his mind. That Mike Vanderjack, before that major miskick in the playoffs for Indianapolis that cost them a chance at the Super Bowl, that he was somewhere else. And what happens is, this is a great sign of psychology itself that Morton Anderson has mastered, I think, better than many, is you get to the point where you can, if you're not careful, start asking yourself, if I've made 100 in a row, if I miss this, won't it be a big choke? Literally, you focus on what-ifs rather than what are the routines and the disciplines that I already have. Mike Vanderjack is just not coming through the ball. If you play golf, you know what I'm talking about. You pick up your head early. You don't follow through. The second you pick up your head in golf and the second you pick up your head as a kicker, you're dead. Your follow-through stops. You don't come across the body. And it's interesting how about 20 of the kickers in the NFL right now, with parity at an all-time high, with so many teams, especially in the NFC, at 5-6 and 6-5, that teams that don't have kickers that they can depend on, like the Redskins with Nick Novak, who's clearly developed some form problems, some technique problems, that they aren't taking the time, enough time, to have the right people to coach those kickers that mean the difference, that provide the margin of success or failure. And speaking of the margin of success or failure, we have a guy who covers the NBA and who studies those margins all the time, in Rick Bucher. He's going to be coming on in just a second. We talked about the Orlando Magic on an earlier show 2 weeks ago. Here's Rick Bucher.
Ray is working against the Denver Nuggets right now, though, because Melo's emergence or re-emergence raised the expectations of what they were going to be this year, and that has not happened so far. And I'm already hearing rumblings that there are guys that don't like their roles in Denver, who want to be moved elsewhere. We're talking about, what, the second week in the season? That's never, never a good sign. So it'll be interesting, but Melo's emergence and their slow start is certainly putting pressure on Coach George Karl to figure this out in a hurry. Because
that's Rick Bucher talking about Denver, and we led from that to talking about Orlando and the similarity of the higher expectations on a Dwight Howard. With me is a guy who's a young father, just got back from swimming practice with his very young son. Rick Bucher, how are you?
I'm doing well. You, Nick?
I'm doing great, and I love the fact that you're being your own coach there in the pool. How's the young man doing?
He's extraordinary. He's got an older sister. He's two. He's got an older sister who's 3.5, and so he wants to do everything she can do, and she's a little fish like her mama. So we got a merman and a mermaid on our hands. They're just waiting to get on the surfboard.
Well, let's go over what's happening with Orlando, with Dwight Howard and just a team that seems to be finding itself. And you talked also about Grant Hill. We got a quote from you from that show a few weeks ago about right. him as well, a guy that was given so much money, could have taken a television contract in a heartbeat. Instead, yep. he's shown so much character and commitment to that yep. team.
Yeah, we applaud a lot of guys for a lot of amazing things, and sometimes the best stories go under the radar because the particular player is not in the limelight, may not be leading the league in scoring. But you look at Grant Hill, he gets paid no matter what. And the arduous effort that he had to make to come back, not to be a superstar anymore, but simply to be a functional player, a contributing player, really reflects the love for the game. It's easy for all of us to say, well, you know what, he should play hard, he should train to get back from injuries, because look at all the money he's making. The reality is, how many people who win the lottery, essentially, they quit their job or they decide, you know what, I don't want to work anymore. Well, Grant Hill is the type of guy who essentially won the lottery, had absolutely no reason to continue working, and he did it strictly, worked his way through the type of injuries that a lot of us would never dream of trying to come back and play on the NBA level through. He did exactly that, and so for all of the success stories that you might find in the NBA, for me, a guy like Grant Hill, who has persevered simply to come back and play and contribute, not necessarily win a ring, I don't know that Orlando's going to do that, but simply to come back and play and on some level earn his money, to me, that's as admirable as it gets.
Tell me more about Dwight Howard and the fact that he's becoming an emerging factor. And it's a young season. Yep. So many teams, especially the good ones, like Miami and the Suns, are barely .500. But some teams have really shown a lot. Orlando is one of them. Tell us about Dwight Howard in particular.
The World Championships in Japan can often, or any sort of off-season international play often has a very negative effect on players because Elton Brand might be an example of that. They lose their confidence. They're sort of exposed as players, as being NBA-oriented players. Well, Dwight Howard is none of that. He went there really just happy to be making the team. And by practicing with Carmelo and LeBron and Dwayne Wade and playing internationally and outplaying the Elton Brands and the Chris Bosches, he realized, I'm as good as any of these guys. And so his expectation of himself and his confidence took a huge leap, and we're seeing that now for the Orlando Magic.
Okay, when we come back, Rick, if you can stay with us for 5 more minutes, we're just going to go into a little bit more about some of those other teams like the Mavericks, San Antonio, the teams you cover on the NBA. It's NBA time with Rick Bucher from ESPN, the magazine senior writer. We'll be right back on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz, the number 47.com. That's homebiz47.com.
That's another stroke penalty, two-shot penalty for hitting yourself with a golf ball. And then it plopped down the bunker, buried again. He had to blast out fire, and he kept whistling. That would have been me. I would have taken that golf cart and thrown it into the lake.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline with Rick Bucher. Rick, so now you've got the young one in the house. So you're juggling being Mr. Mom and Mr.
Right.
Swimming Coach with being a world-class NBA and sports journalist in general. Before we go back to the NBA, Rick, tell me about what excites you about being a writer in terms of covering things that aren't normally covered in sports. What are the things that you believe are not covered enough?
Wow. For me, just in sort of a general sense, I don't know that fans understand the human aspect of being a professional athlete. There's a conception out there or a perception that if you're a marvelous athlete, if you have marvelous physical gifts and you make a ton of money and you have all the fame that comes with being a professional player, that somehow you become exempt to the human issues. And it's just not the case. And so I always feel that one of my objectives is to make people understand how that guy on the field or on the court is really deals with all the same issues you do, except they may actually, rather than be alleviated, they're actually heightened by the pressures and circumstance of being a professional athlete. And in doing that, I believe there's the big link for me that's been lost in professional sports in general is the disconnect between athletes and fans, that there's been a separation. And I guess I look at part of my responsibility as trying to reconnect them and make them understand how they're really not that different.
You know, we didn't rehearse this, but it's so interesting. The last part of our show yesterday, we had Morton Anderson talk about Michael Vick and the public versus private persona, and how Morton learned brilliantly, frankly, in the last 10 years of his career, how he had to truly separate his public from his private life. He reduced to some degree all of the different things he did in the community. He still does things, but he understands that he has to have that separation. We had Dr. Stephen Solomon, who's written a book on relationships, on the show yesterday, talking about how difficult that is to have that public versus private life. Here's Steve Solomon.
Well, the book really came, you know, I'm in private practice here in La Jolla, and my professional partner and I, over the last 10, 15 years, just seen so many couples come in where there'd been an infidelity, and they wanted to see if they could heal that wound and build a stronger relationship because they still loved each other. And so it was really about trying to help people not take what oftentimes is the easier road, which is just to run away, you know, when the going gets tough, and do the hard work necessary to live up to the commitment they made to each other when they got married, which was through thick and thin to hang in there and try and make it work out. So,
what I try to do in that show, and we'll get back to that, is that the marriage a player has to his team is often filled with another level, if you will, of infidelity, that you have to deal with the fact that players come and go 20 to 30% every year, and how do you not project that out into your relationships? Likewise, the coach has to figure out a way to make his players understand that he is loyal to them, that he is worth trusting. What do you think about that?
No question. I mean, it is a tricky road because, let's never forget, it's a business. But to have a successful team, you have to have the sense that it's a family. And that's the biggest challenge on both sides of the equation between players and coaches, is to understand it's a business. I need you to emotionally come together and trust each other and believe in each other, knowing at the same time that any one of us could be gone because of a business decision elsewhere. And I've always felt that if you were going to be a successful coach, you need to find, aside from the X's and O's, basically everybody knows the X's and O's. The key is getting guys to buy into the idea that they're not just playing for money. They're not just playing for fame. They're not just playing for personal statistics. That everybody in the league gets that. We want to play for something higher than that. We want to play for something that is going to last beyond the money and beyond all of that, and that is our relationship with each other and achieving something collectively that we could never do individually. And being able to keep that in the forefront of everybody's mind as you go forward day by day through a season, to me, is really the trick of how you end up building a championship team.
You know, Red Auerbach's passing brings that up, because look at what he was able to do, in addition, of course, to bringing in the black athlete at a whole new level and establishing a legitimacy and a normalcy for the black athlete in the NBA and in major sports, in some ways at a new level than even Jackie Robinson did, really taking it to a normalcy that had not occurred before. We're joined by Seth Joyner, who's looked at coaches and experienced different coaching styles from the good and the bad and sometimes the ugly. Seth, how are you?
Doing good, Nick. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. You know, Seth, I wanted to ask you, with Rick Bucher here talking about the NBA, you know what it's like when you've got a coach that you just don't trust. I'm thinking about coaches that have that magic where you do want to sacrifice. A guy like Mike D'Antoni is one of them. A guy like Pat Riley clearly is one of them. Phil Jackson is one of them. In the NFL, who would you liken to those coaches? What is the secret, in your mind, to building that trust in literally in a matter of weeks?
Well, I think nowadays a guy like Bill Parcells is a guy like that. Marvin Lewis is a guy like that. Obviously, Marty Schottenheimer's been doing it a long time. I think, you know, it's a relationship that's formed between players and coaches that really brings that about. And the biggest thing is that, you know, the players buy into what it is the coach is selling. The coach has got to have some type of believability about him, or he's got to have some type of credibility about him to get particularly the older players on the team to buy into that whole thing. And then, you know, a lot of times it's just being able to see that he's had some success down the road and that he knows what the heck he's talking about to get guys, you know, to buy into it. But it is a difficult proposition, you know, because as a young player, you really don't understand all that's involved. You just want to be a player. You just want to make your money, you know. But as you get older, you start to understand when the championship is really all about, and you also understand what it takes and what's needed and what's required by every player, every role player, every coach that's involved in order for you to get there.
Rick, let's get back to the NBA and how that applies in the NBA these days. Yep. Because players have changed. The culture's changed. It's a younger NBA. It's even more commercial than ever. The NFL is more commercial than ever. Both leagues have their own television networks. Seth knows all about that. The cult of personality, if you will, has become more important as well. Let's look at some of the teams that are doing well so far, like the Mavericks right now, and maybe the Warriors as well.
Yeah, well, in both of those cases, you have coaches with different styles. In the case of Avery Johnson with the Mavericks, those guys believe in him because he's got a ring on his finger. And I think this points to what Seth was saying. You need two things to believe in a coach. You have to believe that he can make you better, and you have to believe that he can get you where you want to go, and that he knows as much or more about the game than you do. And that's, I see it all the time with coaches who, they go out there. The example of Mike Montgomery preceding Don Nelson with the Golden State Warriors. Mike Montgomery came out of college. He was in college for 25 years, and he tried to get up to speed with the NBA. Well, the first time he mismanages the clock or he runs a play where Baron Davis says, "Man, that doesn't work on this level," he's lost that faith, and you can't get it back. Don Nelson, meanwhile, comes in, and he's suddenly using guys in ways that they've never seen before, and they feel like they're being put in a position to succeed. They're going to eat that up. They're going to play that much harder for him. And that is the distinction. And it sounds simple, but it is not an easy thing to do. The line you walk as a coach, you can't make too many mistakes where you expose that you might know less than the guys that you're coaching. And in a lot of situations, you're coaching guys who have had more experience in the league doing what they do than you do. So you got to find a way to get up to speed and be able to add something to their knowledge that maybe they didn't know before.
Let's look at Utah for our final analysis of this segment, which is a team that has surged with a whole lot of new people. Tell us about Utah.
Now, the interesting thing about Utah, and it's a reflection a little bit of Jerry Sloan and his ability. Everybody thought that, you know, once Stockton and Malone left, that was the heart of his ability. And certainly you need talent. But they've gone from being more of a half-court team to an up-tempo team. And they've recognized that there's been a sea change in the way this game is played. It might still be defense wins championships in the NFL, but the NBA has shifted. You can have a so-so defense and win a championship, but you have got to have a very good offense to make it happen. The Miami Heat demonstrated that last year. The Mavericks demonstrated it by getting to the finals. And the Utah Jazz have gone the same way. If you look at the type of players they have, they're not quote-unquote Jerry Sloan type players. He's got more finesse players than he's ever had, and yet he's finding a way to make it work.
Rick, we just got 30 seconds, but any article that we can look for in ESPN, the magazine coming up that you're working on?
Dwight Howard should be in the next issue. You can read all about the man-child is ready to take over the league and how he may make Orlando finally forget about Shaquille O'Neal.
Hey, Rick, thanks so much. Speaking of man and child, you go back to those swimming lessons with your young man. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
You got it, Nick.
That's Rick Bucher from ESPN, one of the great writers. Check out ESPN, the magazine. When we come back, Seth Joyner and I are going to do a little NFL now. We're going to talk about Tony Romo and the cult of the mobile quarterback. Myth, legend, or truth? We'll be right back on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
The holiday season is approaching, and Tickets Now knows exactly what to give the special person in your life. Event tickets. Tickets Now has over 2 million tickets to the hottest sports, concert, and theater events in North America, and each one of them make excellent holiday gifts. Not sure what tickets to give? Give them a Tickets Now gift card, redeemable for any purchase at TicketsNow.com. Tickets Now gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Remember, Tickets Now guarantees every transaction with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find out for yourself today at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com.
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 Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get the net in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio with Seth Joyner. Seth, wanted to thank you for joining us. We talked last week about the tragedy of Andre Waters, and I thought I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the subject of who you can trust in the NFL, who you learn to trust, whether some players make it too easy to be accessible, some players sometimes maybe make it too hard, and how that impacts the team. Here's Dr. Solomon from yesterday's show about separating out the yes-men, the entourage, if you will, that are just guys that are on along for the ride, and sometimes women as well, from those that are quality people. And what a difference that makes in whether a player's career has consistency.
whether these people are trustworthy or not, because, you know, they can be one way. Oftentimes people that are just yes men and women will be one way with you, and they'll be totally different and really show their true colors with other people around you who aren't the star athlete. And a lot of it is looking in yourself and saying, look, what am I really looking for in this relationship, and what kind of a friend am I being? Life is so, as you know, Nick, and have recently learned through the loss of your mom, life is so short. We have to grasp every minute and really take good advantage of every day and put energy and time only into those relationships that really are fulfilling and reciprocal relationships.
What do you think about that? As you think about the tragedy with Andre and how difficult it is, as we talked about last week, for players to make that transition, even in the middle of their careers, making the transition from a public figure on the field to the private person off the field, you seem to have a good balance. Tell me what you've learned.
Well, I think it's, you know, I've said it many times before, I think it's just understanding and knowing who you are from the beginning, and knowing that whatever sport it is you play, whatever athletic endeavor it is that you're in, that is not what defines you as a person. And I think some guys, what the problem is, you know, they become popular because of a sport. They get attention because of a sport. They become monetarily successful because of a sport. So everything that they do is identified within that sport. So then their identity becomes that sport. Well, what happens when you can no longer play that sport anymore? Now, what is your identity? You know, so I think you have to know who you are way before you, you know, undertake whatever athletic endeavor professionally it is that you do, and always be grounded in that way and understand, you know, what type of business, you know, it really is. As far as having yes people around you and whatnot, you know, I just have this thing with people that I'm friends with. You know, if I can't be frank and upfront and honest with you at all times, you know, then you're probably not a good fit for a friend of mine. Because if you step out of line and you do something, then you know what, I'm going to call you on it, no matter who you are. And that, you know, Charles Barkley's a friend of mine, Michael Jordan's a friend of mine, Tiger Woods is a friend of mine. If you step out of line and you do something that's wrong, then I'm just going to call you on it, you know. And if you got an issue with it, then you have an issue with it. At the same token, I expect if I step out of line and say or do something that's wrong, I expect for you to step up and do the same thing. To me, that's a friend, and those are the type of people that I want to be around.
One of the things Charles Barkley talked about on a previous show was looking at the sphere of influence, and he used to think he had to influence everyone, and now, as he looks back, he says his biggest regret is trying to influence everyone rather than picking and choosing the right people and making sure he was focused on what he did. And it seems also, one of the things that people that have met Charles, I've been lucky enough to get to know him a little bit, is that, you know, whoever Charles is in front of you is going to be who Charles is when you're not there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is such a crucial thing. As you look back at your career, Seth, and the Philadelphia Eagles team that had that outstanding defense when Andre Waters was there, you know, there were relationships that were pretty darn trustworthy, pretty darn cohesive. What was necessary to generate that level of teamwork in Philadelphia where the spotlight's so intense?
Well, I think, first of all, Buddy instilled in it. You know, we all grew up together in the game. You know, everybody on that team, from the time that I got there, Reggie was the elder statesman. He had already been, you know, in the NFL maybe 2 years with the Eagles. But everybody on that team was only, you know, a second, third-year player. And then when I got there, you know, after that, everybody was either drafted or, you know, they came via free agency, you know, whatever that situation might have been. But we were relatively young kids, you know, starting off playing the game. And the greatest thing that Buddy did was he, you know, instilled this idea of a family-type unit, you know. And you know how a family is, Nick. I mean, you can't hit my brother without having to fight me, you know. So that's the mentality, and that's the attitude. It was us against the world. And that it was like that from day one. Once he got his guys, it was like, okay, now this, you know, he encourages us to do things together away from the game. He encourages us to get to know each other, you know, because I think when you know a guy and you know him away from the game, then you will do things on the field. You will lay it out on the line a little more for a guy that you got love for than for a guy that you won't, you know. So it wasn't a situation where we were playing for ourselves individually. You know, I was playing for the other 11 guys, you know, the other 10 guys playing next to me, and they were playing for me. When you get 11 guys with that type of mentality, well, now you got something. Now, the big challenge is trying to get 53 guys, you know, with that mentality. But, you know, that's basically, you know, the way we were raised in the game, you know.
You know, I look at the teams that have that right now, and I think of Indianapolis and what they went through with Tony Dungy. And even though he's not a guy that shouts and is intense like a Buddy Ryan, he's created that sense of cohesiveness and commitment to each other because they've been through some of the worst times together. That's why I think they have a shot this year. I think Dallas, with all the distractions with T.O., the way they continue to play pretty darn well most of the time, and of course now with Romo especially so, and then New England, with the loss of a number of key players, yet there's always that sense of loyalty and sort of humility that they're focused on the team first. And Chicago, finally Chicago, which did lose, but they seem to, with Lovie Smith, have created that sort of, as you say, family feeling.
Well, I think that's what great coaches do. They understand, you know, that a 17-week schedule is a long time. You go through the mini camps, you go through training camps, you go through, you know, the first game of the season, and it's a long season, you know. And there are going to be some highs and lows, some roller coaster rides, some guys that get injured. You know, you're going to be in some games, you know, where you're going to just beat people to death. And then you're going to be in some games, you know, where it's just going to be an all-out battle, you know, for 60 minutes. And you understand that with those ebbs and flows and those ups and downs that you've got to have guys that are mentally tough. You know, the teams that don't win, you look at our Arizona Cardinals here, the biggest problem that they have is that they, you know, there's an attitude, an air of losing here. So in the beginning of the game, everything is great and everything is fine, and just as long as things continue to go fine, you know, there's hard play and there's a sense of hope. But the minute that something seems to, you know, they hit some adversity, you know, it's almost like here we go again. Well, when you're building a team, you know, you've got to instill that in your guys that, you know what, the game is not over until the clock says 0-0-0, first of all. Second of all, understand that we're going to do some good things. You're going, as an individual player, as an individual unit, defense, offense, and special teams, you're going to do some special things, but you're also going to hit the other team. They got players too, and they're going to make some plays, and they're going to do some good things, and they're going to make you look bad every once in a while, but you stay at it. Understand that the game is not over until the clock says 0-0-0, and you keep fighting, and you give yourself an opportunity to win. And I think when you have a head coach who exemplifies that and who preaches that and who pushes that, and most importantly, who can get his guys to believe that, then that team is headed in the most positive of directions, and they are going to win some games.
Seth Joyner, what's happening then, speaking of this, of the sense of commitment to each other, what's happened with Atlanta the last few weeks? What's missing there?
Just from a pure football standpoint, I think the problem with Atlanta is the fact that, you know, A, defensively, they're a good defense. They're not a great defense. You know, they've touted themselves, you know, with John Abrams, sure, they've made themselves better. But I just think that, you know, they're a good defense. They're not a great defense. They need the help of their offense in order for their defense to be effective. The problem with their offense is the fact that they've gotten away from the fact that they are a running team, okay? You know, Michael Vick hasn't averaged over 200 yards passing, you know, in any particular season his entire career. Yet, you know, he's on the verge of rushing for 1,000 yards this season. Warwick Dunn, 1,000-yard guy for, like, forever. But they've gotten away from, you know, running the ball, which I think is what makes Michael Vick the player that he is. When you're able to run the ball, now you can roll them out. And where is he most dangerous? When he's outside of the pocket. You know, so until they get back to running the ball 30 times a game and allow Michael to throw the ball 15 to 20 times a game, they're going to continue to struggle. You know, I mean, you see the quarterback change in Denver. The same thing, Nick, you see the quarterback change in Denver. I don't think that it's so much that Jake Plummer isn't playing with any effectiveness. I think what it is they're not running the ball as effectively as that team normally runs the ball. And when you
that's
don't
That's interesting
run
you mentioned that, too. That's a team that's connected by Alex Gibbs, the same running system that Alex Gibbs brought to Denver. He's brought to Atlanta. And for whatever reason, they've gotten away from that.
Well, when you don't run the ball, I mean, that's something I hang my hat on all the time. When you don't run the ball, it's very difficult for any offense, you know, to succeed. But when you have quarterbacks that make plays on the move, like Jake Plummer, like Michael Vick, when you don't run the ball, you make it even that much more difficult because now the play action is dead. You can't get those guys outside of the box because the defense understands that they can't run the ball. So get back to what you do best. Now, they're making the change in Denver, but I guarantee you, Jay Cutler's not going to do any – he's not going to do that much better. He might make some better throws. He might make some better decisions from the pocket, but he's not going to have – he's not going to be that effective if they don't run the football.
And what they're going to do is they're going to protect him, especially this first game. You and I know they're going to be running that ball. Here's Bill Moss from Fox Television about the cult of the mobile quarterbacks.
No, and I think that's the thing that people get caught up in. I was listening to the Monday Night game last night, and it's all about quarterbacks. Make the change. Well, he's not doing good. He didn't do good this series. Make the change. We're so caught up in make the change now. But no, everyone wants to change because the quarterback isn't the offense. I mean, that's not the offense. Sure, you need a good one back there. But a good one can't be a good one without the other 11, 10 players around him. I mean, it's that simple. Without the offensive line that can protect, without the running back and the running game, without the tight end and the wide receivers running their routes, quarterback's only just one part of the puzzle. And when you have one struggling, he wasn't named the starting quarterback for your team because nobody believed in him. He showed something to make him the starting quarterback. Well, when the other parts fall down around him, then you have to look and say, okay, we do have problems blocking. We do have problems running the football. Do we have a guy in there that can, extend the play for us with his mobility? And that's what they got with in Romo. I'm not sure what they got yet with Cutler.
That's Bill Moss, Fox Television. When we come back, we're going to talk some more with Steph Joyner about Brett Favre, about Vince Young, and this mobile quarterback rage and who's able to throw accurately besides Tony Romo when their feet aren't set. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122. By the way, for all the clips, if you want to listen to the show, go to headgamesradio.com. You don't just need a Sirius Satellite Radio. You can go to Head Games Radio and get all the clips, all the highlights. We'll be right back with Seth Joyner with final thoughts in just a minute.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. TermBusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite, Sports Byline Network with Seth Joyner. Seth, let's cover two things in our final couple minutes here. First, Brett Favre. Here's Bill Moss from yesterday's show about what he thinks should happen in Green Bay.
So, you know, where do you go? Do you go to your third string quarterback and tell Brett Favre, hey, nice run, thanks? Because you're not actually moving forward. I think you finish up the year, and then you start looking towards the future. You know, the old saying, you can't steal second with your foot on first. You know, their foot is still on first base. If they want to move forward, they have to move forward as an organization. And it's time for Brett, I believe, you know, to say, hey, thanks, it's been unbelievable, and move forward and help the organization out to move forward.
Seth Joyner, what does Brett Favre do now?
I agree with Bill. You know, it's the same situation, and I felt like going into this year, it was probably time. He's done some fantastic things for that organization, and for that organization for a lot of years. But it does come; we all have to move on, you know. And I believe that it's just time for Brett. It's in the best interest of the Green Bay Packers for Brett Favre to move on. They've got a lot of young players. He very well might hang around until, you know, they get to a point where they could win. But who's the guarantee by that time that, you know, his skills are going to still be where they need to be in order for the organization and the team to continue to win at the next level? They drafted a young quarterback. I think it's time that they move forward and allow that young quarterback to become the future that they envision him to be. It's just time.
Finally, in the last 30 seconds here, Vince Young. And was it more Vince Young, or was it more that the Giants have lost that sense of trust we talked about in this show with Tom Coughlin?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. I mean, when you look at the maturation process, sure, you know, he's not putting up the type of numbers, you know, throwing the ball the way you would wish. That'll come. But I also think the Giants, you know, are just in an enviable situation where they got so many injuries. And Eli Manning is just not playing well. You know, he came out draft day, I don't want to play, you know, for San Diego. He wants to go to New York. Well, New York is really cutting him up right now. He doesn't look very confident. He doesn't look very comfortable. And he's not making really good decisions that has been in the games as long as he's been in the game. And, you know, I think the Giants are really going to have to look at this situation and try to figure out what they're going to do. You know, sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. You want the big market, you're in the big market, you have to perform in the big market, and he's just not getting it done.
Yep. Well, listen, we got to go, but Seth Joyner, thanks. We'll see you on Jim Rome, I'm sure, soon. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio, and if you want to check out all the highlights, check out headgamesradio.com. Tomorrow, Michael Wilbon, John Clayton, Friday, Tom Jackson from ESPN. We'll see you tomorrow on Head Games. Have a great day. Be safe.